Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to today's program where we will begin discussing the phrases under law and under grace. Many people will say that because we are not under law, but under grace, that it means that God's Ten Commandments were done away with. But is this what God means when He says you are not under law, but you are under grace? Let's turn over to Romans, the 6th chapter, and we'll read verses 14 through 15, because here we're going to have God's answer. And God's answer is not what most people teach. What people teach is that God's commandments have been done away with. But this is what God says in Romans chapter 6 and verses 14 through 15. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Because I said that you are not under law, but under grace, shall we sin? What is his answer? Let it not be. Don't even think about that. Get that foolish thought out of your mind. You have come to the wrong conclusion if you believe that I am saying that because you are not under law, but under grace, that God's law is done away with, and so therefore you can go ahead and sin. Now, let's look at the scripture a little bit closer. In verse 14 it says, sin shall not have dominion over you. What is the definition of sin? God defines sin as the transgression of His law. That's 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. And in other places, we know that God says that some of His laws are honor your mother and father, don't commit adultery, don't steal, etc., etc. That's what God is talking about when He says His law. It's the Ten Commandments. So God is saying, don't let sin have dominion over you. If sin should not be something that rules you, but instead you rule over sin, meaning you do not sin, and if sin is defined as the transgression of the law, then it means what? It means that the law still exists. If there is no law, then there is no sin, because the law defines what sin is. And if we transgress the law, if we do something against God's law, that is sin. The other thing we can draw from that statement is that if God says don't do something against His law, it must mean that His law is good. It's not something to be transgressed. It's something to be upheld. So Paul is saying here, sin shall not have dominion over you. No, you're not under law, you are under grace. But that doesn't mean that we have freedom to sin just because we are not under law, but under grace. Again, that is drawing a wrong conclusion. So what does the phrase, you are not under law, but under grace, mean? Under law is a phrase describing a way of worship. It's describing rules for relationships. In other words, it's talking about our motivation for doing what we do. And the phrase under grace also describes a way of worship, rules for relationships. In other words, it describes our motivation for doing what we do. But obviously, there is a difference between under the law and under grace. And the difference is simply our motivation for doing what we do. Let me see if I can illustrate it through an example. Under the law would be this. I make a contract with my wife that I will take out the garbage if she cooks dinner. Now one day I say to myself, well, I don't feel like taking out the garbage. My wife comes home from work and she says, honey, you didn't take out the garbage, therefore I'm not going to cook dinner. And my reaction is, oh man, I better take out this garbage because I want to eat. You see there, the motivation for doing what I'm supposed to do was because I wanted to get something. Now let's use the same example, but let's put it in the context of being under grace. Here, there's no contract between my wife and I for me to take out the garbage. I take out the garbage simply because I love my wife. Now, how is this an illustration of love? It's an illustration of love because I know that if I leave the garbage in the house, it's going to stink up the place, and I don't want her to go around smelling stinky stuff all the time because I love her, so I want it to be clean and fresh. Also, I don't want to leave garbage in the house because if I do, I know it's going to attract ants or, worse yet, roaches or, worse yet, even rats. And these can be dangerous for us. They can bring in diseases. And I don't want my wife to get sick. I don't want her to be bitten by something or a roach crawl into her ear or something like that. No, I love my wife. And so since I love her, I want to take the garbage out to keep the environment nice and clean and safe for her, not to mention myself. So that's an example of being under grace. My motivation for doing it was not because I made a contract and I said, I better do this because I want something. No, it was, I'm doing this because I want to do it, because it's the right thing to do, because I love my wife. Now, in both examples, notice something. In both examples, the garbage was taken out. That's the right thing to do, to take out the garbage. The motivation could be completely different. But in both cases, the garbage was taken out, and that's the right thing to do. And that is like God's law. God's law has existed from eternity and will exist through eternity because God's law is His expression of His love. God says that the two great commandments out of the law are to love God with all of your heart and with all of your mind, and to love your neighbors as yourselves. That is God's expression of love. So the law is good. And in other places, in Romans the 7th chapter, it talks about the law being good, that it's spiritual, it's eternal. So the law has not been done away with. The law is eternal. The law is not bad. The law is good. Let's now turn over to Galatians the 4th chapter, and we'll read verses 4 through 5, and then verses 21 through 26. Because this will help us to truly understand that being under the law had to do with being under the old covenant, which was a way that described what we would do, and it also described our motivation for doing what we did. We'll also see that under grace has to do with the new covenant, which again is about doing certain things, but doing them because of a certain motivation. So this is Galatians the 4th chapter, and we'll start off in verses 4 through 5. When the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Jesus Christ, when He was born under the old covenant. The old covenant was still in effect. The old covenant was not done away with until Christ died. When He died, that ended the old covenant. But He was born under the law, born under the old covenant. Why? In verse 5, it gives us the answer. In order to redeem those, which means to buy back from, those who were under the law. So God is saying, I am going to buy you out from under the law. You're no longer under that contractual kind of relationship. Now, that's over and done with. And what did the law, the old covenant law, do? Well, God says that the wages of sin is death. And we have already learned that sin is the transgression of the law. So the law simply condemned everybody who transgressed it to death. And God had to redeem people through Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, after He was born in the flesh, dying in the flesh, to redeem those, to buy back those who were under the death penalty. So He redeems people from the curse of the law, which is death. Not that the law is a curse, but the law causes death because we sin. And it condemns us to death. And so God says that He's going to redeem us, purchase us from death, purchase us from under that old covenant system which simply condemned people to death. Why did He do that? So that we might receive adoption as his children. In other words, we're now put into a different kind of relationship with God, where we're no longer as servants, but now we are as children. And going now on to verses 21 through 26, we're going to see this about no longer being as slaves or servants, but being as children. Tell me, those of you who want to live under the law, those of you who want to go back to keeping the law as a contractual thing, in other words, saying, God, I'm going to take out the garbage if you do this for me, all right? If you want to go back to that way of living that's only going to condemn you to death, then go ahead and do it. But are you truly listening to what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and the other by a free woman. Now the son of the slave woman, which was Ishmael, who was born of Hagar, he was conceived according to the flesh. In other words, Abraham and Hagar engaged in this sexual intercourse to have this child, but it was purely of their workings, of what they decided. But the son of the free woman, and Isaac was the one born of Sarah, the free woman, he was conceived through a promise. God promised Abraham and Sarah that he would give them a son. And what did God do? He waited until Abraham and Sarah were past the childbearing age, and then he performed a miracle and caused Sarah to give birth to Isaac, which he had promised. But this was a miracle from God. This was God's divine working. It was not possible through the flesh, through Abraham and Sarah's own efforts to do this. It was through a promise, through a miracle from God. And this is an allegory, for these two women represent the two covenants. Get that. These two women represent the two covenants. The one woman, Hagar, is from Mount Sinai, and her children are born into slavery. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to present-day Jerusalem. In other words, under the old covenant, the law was written on two tables of stone, and it was delivered to Israel at Mount Sinai. But now it says in verse 26, the heavenly Jerusalem is the free woman, and she is our mother. That means that the new covenant, which is the law written on the two tables of our hearts and minds, this is delivered to the church. That's what it's talking about when it's talking about the free woman. Now, in our next program, we're going to go into a lot more depth of these two covenants, the old covenant and the new covenant, and we'll explain further how they relate to being under law and under grace. Thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.